Well, good evening. Good to see everybody. Sometimes you let somebody behind the piano and all they can do is tickle them ivories. So. I think that's what she's doing over there. We're glad to have you with us there on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, all those different social media platforms. Hope you enjoyed that piece of music there for just a moment. And then also welcome to those on our phone live streaming. Thank you for joining us. If you need that number, please call our church office or see me after service. I'll be glad to give that to you. If you have access to our church website, go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. Go over to the far left-hand side, click the Give Online tab. You can download underneath the info tab there the bulletin for this week that has all the updates of things that are going on this week and the next. And then also our children's worship bulletins are underneath that info tab, as well as your prayer list. So I want to encourage you to get that prayer list downloaded so that you'll be ready for the time when we go through our prayer list there. If you do have prayer requests that you want to share with us at home, again, just as we remind you every week, be sure to do that over on Facebook. That's where we'll be watching the live to do those live. If you also are there on the website, go to the far right hand side. You can click the Give Online tab there to do your online giving. So I encourage you to take the time to do that. There are offering envelopes in the pews in front of you if you need those, but you can do that also from here online. Also, a real easy platform set up there that you can do your designated giving. You can give to the budget offering, so I encourage you to take the time to do that. Don't forget about our new members class that we have. Brother Tommy's teaching that on Sunday mornings. It's just a four-week class. So even if you're already a member, I'd encourage you to go through that class. There's some things you may learn through that class, and then you would also be able to help some others who may be thinking about joining our church, that you could share with them how that class is also. And so you wouldn't miss your class, but just for those 4 weeks. But I encourage you to do that. If you are at home maybe watching and you've been coming or want to start coming and you're thinking about maybe joining our church, that'd be a great class for you to come to, 9:15 on Sunday mornings. And then don't forget your Hoosier One emphasis. You've got the cards that are down here in the front. Again, if you need those at home, let us know. We'll be glad to send those to you. On the back of the blue part, you write the name of the individual that you want to pray for to be saved, and then you tear the bottom half off that becomes a bookmark for you to use for 30 days to pray for that individual. We've got some other white cards down here if you need some new ones of different individuals. Shuffle through them and pick you out some more there to be praying for and leading those people, praying for those people that you have there. Also, don't forget that we're encouraging you to do this part to the index cards. If you're asking people, how can I pray for you? We encourage you to write that down on an index card, place it in an offering plate, and we want to share that with others in the future. And then also don't forget our YouVersion Bible app. Encourage you to take the time to download that. You can download that to any device. You can even see it on your computer if you want. You just search there in the apps store or the Windows store, whatever that would be there for you, and you can find that app there. You can find it on just looking, doing a Google search for Bible app. You'll find the link there to Bible.com, YouVersionBible.com. Once you do that, you search for our church, you make that your church, and then once you do that, it'll show the Bible reading plan that we're going through in the Book of Psalms. Encourage you to do that. I am finishing up today with the Book of Psalms, and so encourage you to continue doing that. We'll still be in the Book of Psalms over this next month. I'll restart again tomorrow with the Book of Psalms, but encourage you to take the time to do that. It's a wonderful, wonderful read through the Book of Psalms if you've never done that before. So, Brother Mike, come and lead us, if you will.
Good evening. Take your hymnals. Turn to hymn number 411, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Ms. Pat. Trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the Savior Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for
trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, now I trust him, now I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that he is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Thank you. All right, hopefully at home there you've had the opportunity to get your prayer list downloaded there, and I'm on Facebook on my iPad here so that I can follow along if you have any prayer requests that you want to give there, or any updates that you may want to give us from home of any individuals that are there on our prayer list. So again, be sure to do that there on Facebook. We'll look at the other platforms, but we won't see those on the live, and we'll update those from those later in the week. So as you look at your Highland Baptist Church family, just to give you a few updates of some, I want to mention Carolyn and S.W. Stone. Not much has changed with S.W. Carolyn is still at Life Care Center. Doesn't feel like she's really getting the therapy she needs, but just keep praying for her that everything will go well with that, and that she'll soon be able to go home. You know how difficult that can be, being at the nursing home there. So keep her in your prayers. Arthur Hargrove, from what I know, is still healing from his head, where he had had to have the stitches put in. So keep him in your prayers. Miss Betsy Farrell, Mark Raymond, Sandra Wells, Jewel Farrell, Bill Warren, Rick German, David Hess is still undergoing those treatments that they'll be looking at in maybe another week or two, I believe that's right.
Pardon?
David Hess.
He should be on the second or third week of this second round.
Yeah, so he'll be it's either the second or third round that he's on, and then after that they'll do another round and then examine him to see where he's at about doing the surgery that he's going to need. Also want to remember Linda Jones. She's not been doing well. Brian Tate, keep him in your prayers. He has some medical issues. Brother George Duncan, they were able to, he had an episode the other night, and they thought maybe he had had a stroke. They did everything and looked at everything. His functions were all there. Didn't seem like he had a stroke. They were supposed to do an MRI today. I've not heard the results of that MRI, but that was to make sure that he had not had a stroke. They did find some internal bleeding with some ulcers, and so a couple of ulcers, they clamped those off, and they're just waiting on that process. And so it's kind of, they're kind of in a waiting stage right now, just waiting on things to heal a little better so that he can be able to possibly proceed with any other surgeries he may have to have with a stent and that. So keep him in your prayers. He's not been in good spirits. You know, Brother George, it's always another day in paradise, and he's not been as encouraged in these days that he's been going through all of this. So keep him in your prayers for that. Any other information on him that anybody else might have of an update? Okay. Remember Tracy Kwa? She was here this past Sunday. She fell at the airport a couple of weeks ago and broke her tibia. They did not put her in a cast. They did not do surgery. They said that that if she had broke it any further, she would have had to have had that. But they just have her in a boot, and she's going to have to wear that for several weeks. And so keep her in your prayers through that healing process for her. And then Keith Bailey, we have him down there as medical issues. He has an actual procedure Friday that he's going to be having done and possibly putting some stents in. So he's having an angiogram and then possible stents. So keep him in your prayers this Friday for that. Tommy Griffin had fell last week going up the stairs and hurt his knee, but I spoke to him yesterday morning, and he said things were doing better with that. So do continue to keep him in your prayers too. And then Steve Connor is back at home now. He had had an episode Sunday, for those who may not have known this at home especially. He passed out in the parking lot out here had his blood pressure was extremely low. They took him to the hospital. They found out later he was anemic. They did some tests later in the week to find out if there was any internal bleeding, and they found some ulcers in him too, a couple of bleeding ulcers. And so they're treating him with just medicine. He did have some transfusions, and so he said he was feeling great with that new blood that he got in, but he had lost almost half his blood from those bleeding ulcers. So it was a very serious situation there. If he hadn't got there when he did, his plan was just to go home and rest, and he may not have even come to church that morning because he thought about staying home and resting. So just God's divine plan in getting him where he needed to be to get some of us, like us guys, to get to the hospital when we need to get to the hospital. So keep him in your prayers. He's doing good in good spirits. I spoke to him this morning here at the church on the phone, and he's probably watching us there on YouTube. Also, any others there on the Highland Baptist Church family side? Okay, on the friends and family side, I'm not going to mention all of these, but just want to mention a couple that especially we've added. We've added our Moldova missionaries to the prayer list there, and we're going to be sharing some more coming up here in August about some specific prayer requests that they have, and we'll be putting together some things to share their needs there. So keep them in your prayers. We wanted to add them to our prayer list so that you could be reminded to do that. Rhonda Morris, they are doing a craft thing for her coming up. Is that this weekend? I believe that's this weekend.
I think it's this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend at the Ministry Center. So encourage you to come and support that. And then just further down the list, we have Val Kohler, who has stage 4 cancer. That's Matt's aunt. Jay Barbier, who is still doing cancer treatments, but led our youth rally for our association down in Winchester at Oaklawn Baptist Church down there this past last week. So keep him in your prayers with that. Tim Forsyth, who's a music minister over at Trinity Baptist in Manchester, he's also still doing cancer treatments. Remember the Ray family, that's a request from Matt, and Gita Trapp. Gita Trapp is Susan Solomon's mother. They did take and do a surgery to her to have to remove a portion of the lobe of her lungs, but they think they've gotten all the cancer there. And so she is at home now with Susan, is on oxygen and will be on oxygen for the foreseeable future, but keep her in your prayers as things do seem to be going well as far as that goes, as Susan shared that with me the other day. Don't forget to keep praying for Bethany Stringfield Brooks with her medical issues and her upcoming surgery in October, on October 24th, so keep her in your prayers. And then also Philip Schell. Do you know any update on Philip?
He is doing better. He has got his appetite back a little bit, and so therefore he's gotten
a little bit stronger. So he sees the neurologist tomorrow. Okay, and this is a request on our prayer list here that we have of Philip Schell. He's doing better, does have some appetite, and sees a neurologist tomorrow, so keep him in your prayers for that. I remember David and Joni Peck, and then Teresa Kohler, who is Matt's mom. She has the torn meniscus, and then Tanner Smarts, the one who was electrocuted a few weeks ago and fell off the ladder and fractured his skull. It wasn't very high that he was on, but still enough to fracture his skull. And so keep him in your prayers. But the last I heard, he was doing better. So keep him in your prayers still. Any other friends and family that we need to add or update? All right. Then in the nursing home and assisted living, we have Mary Campbell at NHC, Peggy Eggleston at Life Care, Bertie Davis at Brookdale, Miss Janet Carter at MacArthur Manor, Sue Prince at Morning Point, Beverly Daniels at Manchester Rehab Center, and I'm not sure that's right. That may be from before. She's at Morning Point. So I think that was incorrect. I pulled this from an old list that we had. So she is at Morning Point. Susie Barton is at Morning Point. And then Hoyt Farrell is at Legacy Nursing Home and Carolyn Stone at Life Care Center. Any others? I don't see any on Facebook there. So I think that may be it then. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer for these requests that we mentioned, maybe some other unspoken needs that you have on your hearts. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you. What a awesome and mighty God that you are. Lord, that you have us in your hands. You take care of us. You provide for us. You sustain us. Lord, you love us. You care for us, even when we don't always see it. Father, we know that you are always working. And we can have confidence from the promises from your word that you have not forgotten us, you have not forsaken us. And so, Father, I pray that as we come into your presence tonight, as you being a holy, righteous God that you are, Lord, we come in all humility, knowing we are not perfect. We have sinned. We've sinned against you. We've sinned against others. And, Lord, we just want to come and confess any sin that's in our hearts and ask you to forgive us of all of our sins. Cleanse us, Lord, from all of our unrighteousness. Lord, set us in the path that you would have us to go, following your word, letting it be that lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. Father, I pray that you will just have your hand upon us to cleanse us, to renew us in our hearts and in our minds each and every day. Lord, I pray for those who may not know Christ as our Lord and Savior, and especially as we're praying for these on our Hoosier One cards, Lord, you know each person's name on this cross over here. We pray, God, that you will divinely intervene in their lives to make yourself known to them. Father, we pray that you would send people across their path to share the good news of the gospel with them. Send us across their path, Lord, if for nothing else but to begin that gospel conversation of asking, how can we pray for you? And Father, I just pray that you will just open up opportunities like we've never seen before, work in people's hearts to bring them to that place of salvation. And we just want to give you the glory and the honor for all that you have been doing and working in these individuals' lives. And we just expectantly look forward, Lord, to the great and mighty reports we're going to hear in the days ahead of those who may be coming saved. Father, we pray and ask that as we ask forgiveness of our sins, Lord, we know that there are things we have not done that we should have done also. And so, Father, we ask that you would help us, Lord, fill us with your spirit, help us to be bold in sharing the good news of the gospel with people. And Father, I just pray that you will use us in whatever way that you will to make a great kingdom impact on this world for your name's sake. Father, we also want to come tonight on behalf of each one of these individuals we've mentioned on our prayer list tonight. Lord, you know their hearts, you know their lives, you know their situations, you know the trials, you know the tribulations they're going through, you know the discouragements that they're facing, you know all the feelings that are going through their heart and through their mind even now. And so, Father, we just pray that you would embrace them in your love and your grace and your mercy. Make your presence known to them, that they would know you have not forgotten them. Father, I pray that they would know in their hearts also that we care about them and that we are uplifting each one of these in prayer tonight that we've mentioned and others that we did not mention by name. Father, we just pray for your healing hand to be upon them. We pray for you to bring that physical healing to their bodies that they need. There probably is some other needs that go along with a lot of these other physical needs. And we just pray, God, for you to divinely intervene and shower these people with your grace that is sufficient for all of our needs. And Lord, we just want to pray too on behalf of all of our missionaries, whether that's praying for the Calgary Mission Project, whether that's praying for our Moldova missionaries, whether that's praying for Israel or praying for the people of Ukraine. Father, I pray that you will just continue to have your hand upon our missionaries especially. Bless them. You know the needs they they have. You know what's coming up around the bend for them. Some may be facing some struggles. Some may be you may be opening some doors of blessing. Father, I pray that they'll be well prepared for the things that you have for them, that they will be leaning upon you, trusting in you. And Father, I pray that you will use our missionaries in a great and mighty way to continue, Lord, to spread the gospel. But Lord, continue to lay them upon our hearts. Continue to help us to have a burden to always remember in our prayers our missionaries, whether they're serving in North America or whether they're serving internationally. And Father, we just pray for your will to be done in their hearts and in their lives. Lord, we pray for each one on this list, whether they're sick at home, whether they're in the hospitals. Lord, we pray for your spirit of encouragement to be with them. Lord, send the Holy Spirit, who is the great comforter, who is the great encourager. And Father, I pray that you will encourage their hearts and their souls. Give them strength, Lord, in the midst of their trials. Father, we pray that you will bring healing to their bodies, that there would be no other way to explain the things that have happened, but that it was by your hand, by your grace, and by your mercy, and that we would use those opportunities to testify of your grace and your mercy, that we would share with others that you not only heal physically, but more importantly, you heal spiritually of our greatest problem, that of our sin debt. So Father, I pray that we'll praise your name and make your name known to the nations around us, to the peoples that we come into contact with each and every day, by our words that we speak, by the life that we live, by just simply asking questions to begin conversations. Father, we just pray you'll be with those who have some upcoming surgeries, some upcoming decisions about medical treatment. Father, we pray that you'll give wisdom and discernment to the caregivers, the doctors, the nurses, the surgeons who will be taking care of these individuals. Lord, give them wisdom to know the things that they need to know to be able to take care of these individuals. But we know you're the great physician, and so we uplift them into your hands, and we want to give you the glory and the honor for all that you have done and all that you are doing and all that you are going to do in the days ahead. Father, we pray for our youth. Lord, we pray that as they're meeting tonight and studying your word, we pray, God, as they're worshiping, may you stir their hearts to have a hunger and a thirst for you. Lord, be with our children as they are getting back to school this week. Be with each one of them and protect them. Watch over them. Be with our teachers and all of our educators, Lord, and those working in the education system. We pray that you will bless them, especially this week as they begin back. And Father, we pray that you will just lead us and guide us as we get ready and do some things over this month to get ready to start back with Awana in September. Father, we pray that you'll stir the hearts of kids that have been coming to return, as well as to stir the hearts of their friends to come for Awana. And may we see a great outpouring of your spirit as we see more children coming to faith in Christ, growing in their walk with you, learning those scriptures that would be hidden in their hearts to guide them through the decisions that they may make each and every day. Lord, as we come here tonight to study your word, we're coming to the book of Isaiah once again in Isaiah chapter 12. Father, I pray that your word would be powerful, alive to us. Father, I pray that it will speak truth into our hearts. Lord, that it would stir our hearts to worship you and to praise your name, not just in private, Lord, but publicly, as well as to people around us, by just declaring your praises to the world around us of all that you're doing. Father, thank you so much for this passage we're going to look at tonight. Father, I pray that we will leave here blessed by your word tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Isaiah chapter 12. You'll find that it's a very short chapter, as Isaiah goes especially. A lot of Isaiah are longer chapters, especially as we get further into Isaiah. You're going to find that out. This chapter is only 6 verses. There's a lot in these 6 verses. And as you're going to see, this chapter follows very closely with the preceding chapter back in chapter 11. It's directly tied to chapter 11. The previous chapter, chapter 11, is a prophetic message that deals with the coming millennial kingdom, the future yet still. So he's talking some in Isaiah about the first coming of the Messiah and the birth of the Messiah. He talks some about Jesus' death on the cross. There's lots of references that are used in the New Testament from the book of Isaiah that you'll see that. Jesus himself spoke many times on the book of Isaiah. In fact, when he spoke in the temple, that was the scroll that he opened and read from, was the book of Isaiah. It's a powerful, wonderful book. I'd encourage you, if you're not in a Bible reading plan other than our Psalms one, I'd encourage you to study the book of Isaiah. You'll see lots of things in it that you'll be like, oh, wait a second, I think I've heard that before. And you've probably heard it in the New Testament. Well, he not only talks about the birth of Christ, the death and the resurrection of Christ, he also talks about the second coming of Christ, the millennial reign that is coming. And that's what chapter 11 was all about. These verses that we're going to look about in chapter 12 are a song, a praise that the redeemed of Christ are going to sing within the kingdom in that future time, comprised primarily of believing Jews at that time. This chapter is prophetic. It's written to a Jewish audience. You might question its relevance to the church. Well, what does this have to do with us if it's written about and to the Jews? Well, although it's written concerning a time yet to come, one in which the church has been raptured out of this world, there remains a great application and truth for all who have faith in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. And so this song is a song of praise that not only will be sung then, but ought to be sung in our hearts and in our lives each and every day. It's a song any Christian can relate to and can rejoice in. Their salvation will be in Christ, the Jews will, by faith, just as ours is. And so as I read this passage and read this psalm here, a song, one of the old hymns written by Julia Johnston came to mind. It's like this. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. That's what this chapter is all about. We're going to see in this chapter the wonderful grace of our loving Lord. So notice first in verse 1, their praise. Now, we're saying their praise because we're talking about what it's writing about here to the Jews, about the future in the millennial kingdom. It's their praise that they're going to be praising then, but praise we ought to be praising even now. So verse 1 begins, and it says, you will say in that day. In that day is the millennial kingdom day. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. One of the things we see here, what is he talking about? What is the anger? What is the wrath that God has toward us? It's towards our sin. And when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the price for our sin. So God's ultimate goal has always been and will always be for his glory. Everything he does in our lives, everything he does in the church, everything he does in this world is to bring glory to his name. It's all about God, not about us. We tend to pray to God as if everything centers around us, but it doesn't. It centers around God. It's all about his glorious grace. But what is that grace? And what will it have to overcome in the end to bring all of God's chosen people, all of God's elect, to a perfect state in a perfect world? Well, Scripture reveals that God's highest priority in our salvation, as we said, is his own glory. But his second highest goal is our joy in him. Isaiah traces that out very clearly in all that he's come through so far in the book of Isaiah, looking at all the wickedness, the stench of the wickedness that our human natures have just pumped out into this world for centuries. Look at what grace had to overcome. If you go back to chapter 1, God had to put up with the empty machinery of people having just putting on a show. They were putting on a facade. It was cold-hearted religiosity, if you will. They were just going through the motions. And so that's what chapter 1 was about, that his grace would have to overcome. Isaiah chapter 2 revealed God's hatred for the arrogance of idolatry. He talked all about his people, who are his chosen people, who he has done so much for that now they're worshiping idols, and his hatred for that arrogance of idolatry. Chapter 3 laid open the bad leadership, the corrupt judges, the corrupt magistrates, the corrupt kings of their nation, and how grace would have to overcome that. Isaiah chapter 5 made plain through six woes God's repulsion against greed and excess and mockery of God and redefining of truth. Remember, they were saying things that were good were evil and what was evil was good. And we saw that's true of our world even today. He talked about a woe against false wisdom and a drunken, corrupt justice system. In Isaiah chapter 6, he showed that even the best of us, a prophet like Isaiah, feels completely undone and unclean by an unclean life. You remember he said to the Lord when he saw the presence of those seraphim, he said, "I am a man that's unclean, I am undone, I'm a man of unclean lips." Unclean lips means that I have an unclean heart. And so he was talking there that he was completely undone by an unclean life in the presence of such a holy and righteous God. And then you come to chapter 7 all the way through chapter 10, and he clearly describes, Isaiah does, God's righteous judgment of Israel and Judah by these invading forces. So he talks about all that that's going to happen, that he's going to use this wicked nation to come against them. They've been relying instead of on God. Not once did they turn to God in prayer. What they continue to do is they turn to other nations. They tried to make alliances with other groups around them. In fact, they made an alliance with Assyria to come and to squash these other kingdoms that were coming up against them. And little did they know that was a trap for them also. And so you see that God was right in bringing his judgment against them. And by the time we get to chapter 11, that stunning vision of the messianic kingdom in Isaiah chapter 11, you may start to wonder how a holy God could give an unholy and wicked people such a majestic and beautiful Savior as this chapter in chapter 12 describes. We've already seen that they had questions. How can you use an evil nation to bring judgment against us? Now there's question is how could God you bring us and bless us even though we've been so unholy and so wicked before him? And I know when I look at myself, and I'm sure you do also, you know your heart, you know the things you've done, you know your past, that we come before God and we realize I'm not worthy of everything that he's done for me. I'm not worthy of his grace. I'm not worthy of his mercy. So Isaiah 12 is the only appropriate reaction of the people of God to the kind of grace that he has shown to them when over and over and over and over and over and over they continually, repeatedly turn their backs upon God, and yet he shows grace and mercy to them. In fact, that's what the New Testament tells us about us, that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were enemies of God. So in the New Testament, after their rejection of Jesus as Savior, looking at the millennial kingdom here, God had dealt primarily in the New Testament there with the Jewish people, but you remember they rejected Jesus as the Christ. And so when they rejected Jesus as the Christ, God dealt primarily then with the Gentiles. And you remember he sent Paul to go and to share the gospel with the Gentiles, sending him to minister to them. And then he says in the millennial kingdom, these redeemed Jews, those who do turn back to him, are going to praise the Lord one day for his grace and for his mercy. Because think about it, for all these centuries, as a whole, as a nation, now there are individuals of Jewish people, messianic Jews, Jews who have trusted by faith in Jesus as their Savior. But as a whole, the nation of Israel still rejects Jesus as the Messiah. For centuries that has gone on. And yet, the Bible tells us in that day, they're going to turn to him. They're going to praise him for his grace and his mercy. They had endured God's discipline, his chastening hand against them, facing the judgment from their rejection. But now the righteous judgment has ended when we come to chapter 12. And peace and comfort reigns. Now, I don't know about you, that's what we're commanded in the Bible to do, is to pray for the peace of Israel. There has not been peace and never has been until they trust in the Prince of Peace. And so we begin there by seeing their praise. Then the song goes on to focus on God's provision. God's provision. So verse 2 and verse 3 goes on here. And we'll just start with verse 2, because here Isaiah speaks of the great provision God extends to his people. It refers to a future time, but we also, as believers today, have received God's gracious provision. So there's an application for us here today. So the first part we see here is in the first part of verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. God is my salvation. Isaiah said that the people one day are going to recognize God as the source of their salvation. Now, the Hebrew word here for God is the word Elohim. It speaks of God's covenant name. It's a plural noun. The reason it's a plural noun is because it encapsulates within it the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so it's a plural noun. The Hebrew language requires a plural noun to consist of three or more. And so Elohim literally means the strong ones. This reveals the sovereign nature of the triune God. Long before God created this world, long before God created humanity, he had a plan of redemption, of salvation. Salvation is not a work of our hands. Salvation is a work of the sovereignty and the providence of God. We rejoice that he made a way for us where there seemed to be no way. He made a way for us through his Son. And so we see the sovereign here. We see God speaks to us through his prophet, telling us that in the day of the Lord, everyone who is saved, whether you're Jew or Gentile, is going to give a personal praise to God for his amazing, gracious salvation. But understand, you don't have to wait till then. You have everything to praise the Lord for today. You may be going through the worst of times. You may be going through the best of times. But you have something to praise the Lord for today. If your world seems today like it's as darkest that it's ever been, remember your salvation. Remember the grace of God and what he's done for you. And when you do that, it begins to brighten your hope up. It begins to brighten your focus up. And that's what he's reminding us here, is that that's going to happen at the end of the days. Jew and Gentile are going to praise God for his amazing, gracious salvation. But you can do that even today. He says, we'll thank God for turning his holy wrath and his just wrath away from us. Where did he turn it away to? He turned it away to Jesus Christ, pointing to what Christ did on the cross when God's wrath was turned away from us by his sacrifice. On Judgment Day and for all of eternity, all the redeemed in Jesus are going to give a direct praise to the God of our salvation. And because in that day we'll praise God for our salvation, you can put your faith in him now and not be afraid of anything. God is going to be our strength for the journey that you have for the rest of the way. So you see the sovereign. You also see in this verse the Savior. That he reminds us of here, the Savior. In verse 2, he goes on and says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song. So he's saying here that the multitudes that'll be there in the kingdom are going to sing praise to the Lord Jehovah. This is God's redemptive name. That when it says there, you notice it's all in caps. The word Lord and the word God are all in caps there. And that's the covenant name, Lord Jehovah, there. It's God's redemptive name used in association with deliverance. It reminds us of when God says, I am. when he says that to Moses, when Jesus himself uses his I am statements to connect himself to God the Father also. And so it speaks of the I am. This is the same song that was sung at the Exodus by the Red Sea. It was sung again as Ezra dedicated the temple after the captivity. And it's going to be sung again, he says, in the millennium, praising God for his salvation and his redemption. Now, Jehovah is the name that's mentioned lots of times, often in the Old Testament. But it's also found in the New Testament. In fact, the Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament, God in the flesh, God incarnate. We would have no salvation if Jesus had not offered himself as a sacrificial atonement for sin, delivering us from the condemnation of our sin. That's why Paul could write and say, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's hard for us to fathom, that there's no condemnation to you when you've trusted in Jesus as your Savior, because you're covered and cleansed with the blood of Jesus Christ. So we see the Savior. We also see the security that we have in God in this verse, in verse 2. He says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. And so after centuries of wandering and rebellion, the Jews one day are going to come again and be comforted of the Lord in the homeland. Now, before 1949, you wouldn't have thought that, because they didn't have a nation anymore. No established nation of Israel. But after that time, there has been a nation of Israel. And more Jewish people have been coming back from being dispersed throughout the world. And that continues to grow each and every day. I think it's going to multiply as it gets closer and closer to the last days themselves, because of what it says here, that there's going to be this multitude who's going to praise him, who's going to come before him, who's going to be comforted by him in their homeland. They'll rest secure in him rather than in their own strength, rather than in trusting in other military might from other nations around them. And so those who belong to Christ, us as believers, we also don't have any reason to fear, do we? We can rest assured in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We can be secure in the family of God. In fact, that's what the Bible tells us, isn't it? The world didn't secure our salvation, and it can't take it away. John chapter 10 and verse 28 and verse 29, you remember what Jesus said? He said, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me. He is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And so basically what he's saying is, those who are believers, they are in my hand. You can rest assured they are firm, they are secure in their salvation when you trust by faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've truly done that. That's why we say we believe as Baptists in once saved, always saved. We use that kind of phrase. Once saved, always saved. I always add that little extra. If you truly were saved, if you truly trusted by faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have, you are secure in the hands of Jesus. And he tells us here also that he is in the Father's hand. Nothing can pluck you out of the Father's hand. Nothing can pluck you out of Jesus' hand. To get to Jesus' hand, the devil's got to go through God the Father, and that's not happening. And so you can rest secure and not worry about the devil and what he might do to you as a believer. Because the Bible tells us to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. So we still win. If he was to do the worst to us that he could possibly do to us, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Then we see fourthly here the supply that's given to us as believers. So notice in verse 3, he goes on and says, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. So think about that as this is being sung by the Jewish people, as this is Isaiah who's speaking to Jews in his day of what's to come in the millennial reign also, and things that they could already be doing in their hearts and lives and praising the Lord. They didn't have to wait either if they trusted in the promise of the Messiah to come. They could have that joy in their hearts also. But think about that desert climate that they live in. When you're talking about here drawing water from the wells of salvation, that's that's a very vivid picture that Isaiah is painting for them, because you're in a desert climate, water's precious. Water is precious, and you think about more often those occasions where you've been to the well and you've drank that cool, fresh, refreshing water. You've been down to the spring to get that water down at the spring. You know, I remember growing up, when we were younger, we used to go out to this place that, and I may have shared this with you before, but we used to go out to this place that we always called as little boys the end of the world. It always seemed like it was the end of the world to get there. It took us forever to get there. But it was one of my great aunts on my grandmother's side where she lived. It wasn't that far, really. When we grew older, we're like, this is not really the end of the world. But that's what we called it. And we would go over there to her house, and she had just a, this was in Florida, North Florida. It was just a little shack. A wooden shack, kind of, it's not a log cabin for sure, just slat wood pieces. And she lived in it all the way until I left, even to go to Bible college, and then she passed away sometime after that in the early 90s. But I remember going over to her house many times, and we always had to, she had out on the back porch that connected to another section of her house on the back. She had a sink out there and had the old well. You had the old pump that you had to prime. And she had this little cup that had a long handle on it. And we would pump that well, pump that pump and get that water flowing and dip it in there. And there was nothing like drinking water out of that little tin cup on that. I mean, you could put it in a plastic cup or whatever. It didn't taste the same unless it was in that. But I still remember the vividness of that, the taste of that. I need some water now just thinking about it. So he's painting this picture to them in this phrase here. Drinking of this water from the well. But he's also using it to contrast with them what has been happening in their lives. They have been drinking from empty cisterns. A cistern, I would hope you, if you ever get the opportunity, hopefully things would calm down some in Israel that you ever get to go. It is amazing to see the cistern systems that would be set up in these little villages, especially if they were out near the mountainous area. So you'd have the mountains to your east and the Dead Sea down to the west many times. And they would have these places that they've dug out like a well, but it's not a well because it doesn't go down to the water. There's no water. It's just dry. And so the water would come from when it would rain up on the mountaintops, when it would snow up on Mount Hermon or some of those mountains, and it would melt, it would come down. And as it would come down, they would make channels that would direct it and divert it to go into these well-like things that were what's called a cistern for it to hold the water for when they needed it to be able to have water. Well their cisterns, and you see this all throughout the Old Testament, that God says, your cisterns are broken. It's like you're taking water and trying to put it, hold it in your hands. It's just going to keep leaking through. And that's what was happening. That's what he was saying here. They had, after years of drinking from the empty cisterns spiritually of the works of the flesh, the Jews, he said, one day you're going to draw from the deep living well of salvation. Your suffering and your misery one day is going to be turned to joy in Christ Jesus. Isaiah painted that picture many times, not just with the cisterns here, but with the refreshing streams in the desert land, the thirsty wanderers drinking from those and being refreshed. And in fact, when you come over to the New Testament, do you remember what happened there? That Jesus perfectly fulfilled that image when he spoke to the Samaritan woman at the well. It was in John chapter 4 and verse 14. Remember, he had said, could you get me some water? Could you? And she said, you don't have anything. He said, I could give you water that's eternal water. She said, you don't have anything to draw with. And he said, well, if you knew who it was who was asking you for this water, you would ask of him. And then verse 14 of chapter 4, he said, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give a person will never be thirsty again. You remember what she said, give me that water. I don't ever physically be thirsty again. But he was talking about spiritually. He said, the water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That's what Isaiah was speaking of here. So understand that as we make our weary journey through the wilderness of this world, you are free to drink from Jesus at any moment through the Holy Spirit. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, there is a free gift, a free well that is waiting there for you to drink of, the living water of Jesus Christ, if you would but trust in Him as your Lord and Savior. Once you do that, you have Him as a resource to continually go back to. John 7, verse 38 says this about the Holy Spirit, that whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have living water flowing out of you to the world around you. You know, too often we find ourselves drinking from the wells of this world, seeking to find peace and satisfaction in the things of this world, but it's always empty. And it'll always leave you empty. It'll always leave you desiring more. Once you're in Christ, then it's like you can draw from Jesus' deep well of living water. He provides everything that you'll ever need, and He's never short of supply. Just like the woman of Samaria, one drink of Jesus' living water, and you'll never thirst again. Even today, when you're thirsty within your soul, you can draw from the deep wells of salvation. That's why I say, when you're in the darkest times of your life, always go back to the promises of your salvation, and you'll find a well of water there to refresh your soul and to bring life back into your heart. Then we see their proclamation. So he moves from the focus on God here back to what they are doing, their proclamation in verse 4 and verse 5 when he says you. He says, and you will say in that day, again, it's in that day, the future day of the millennium. He says, in that day, you will say, give thanks to the Lord. That's the very first thing here that we see is the admiration that they express of the Lord. Surely, God will be worthy to be praised for all of His marvelous works and all of His wondrous grace. These people are going to offer praise and admiration to Him. But can't we do that even now? We ought to be praising God daily in our lives as well, not just in our words, but also in our actions. Nobody has done for us what Jesus has done. And so as you survey the wondrous work of the cross, as you think about the empty tomb, we ought to stand amazed at the goodness of God and the grace of God. He alone is worthy of our admiration and of our praise. But notice the supplication also there in verse 4. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name. Call upon His name is an expression to a prayer of supplication. And so God hadn't brought them that far to abandon them now. He hadn't brought them throughout all their history to this point where Assyria is coming down against them. And eventually they are, remember, God's going to come down and wipe out 185,000 of the Assyrians. And they're going to go back to their homeland. But then 100 years later, they are still going to face the judgment for the things that they have done against God. But He still, even in that, did not abandon them. He did all of that out of a loving graciousness towards them. But He says here, I've not brought them this far to abandon them now. Call upon me. The people are going to be encouraged to call upon the name of the Lord with thanksgiving, with supplication, with prayer. He's faithful to His own, and He will never forsake His redeemed. We talked about that Sunday in the psalm that we looked at. So what comfort that brings to us in where we are in our lives today. You'll never have a need that He cannot supply. Never. He's willing and He's able to meet all of our needs. He's more aware of our needs than we are ourselves. But many times in Scripture, we are warned, we are admonished to seek the Lord in prayer. Even though He knows our needs, we're to go before Him and to agree about those needs. It's good to know that we have access to the throne of grace and serve a Lord who's mindful of our needs. But then notice the exaltation in the rest of verse 4 and into verse 5. He said in verse 4, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. So when you read that, what do you think about? When he says there in the end of verse 4, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. That's the evangelistic missions call to us. The same thing that we're told at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, that we're to go into all the world and to make him known to this world. He's saying these, here in these last days, they will have experienced the abundant mercy and the grace of God. In that day, they're going to declare the great works among the peoples of all the nations. We also bear that responsibility because Jesus has saved us from our sins. He has reconciled us to the Father. If anyone ought to offer praise, it ought to be us as Christians. We need to proclaim his grace to everyone we meet. May we be a people who testify of our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, our mission is to tell of the greatness of God to the nations. And then he finishes in verse 6, focusing on God's preeminence. God's preeminence. Notice verse 6. He says, shout and sing for joy. You know, there are some people who don't like shouting. There are some people who don't like loud singing. But we got to keep that soft and slow. But there's going to be some shouting in heaven. There's going to be some singing, loud singing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion. That, remember that word Zion meaning Jerusalem, the larger term meaning there also for Israel. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. So because of the greatness of God, we ought to be telling others about the greatness of God. We ought to be worshiping him with our whole being. We ought to be immersed in his greatness, that when people come across our path, we can't help but tell them about how great our God is. So with whatever time that any of us have left on this earth, we ought to be doing everything we can to give thanks to the Lord, proclaiming his name among the nations, celebrating his works to the world and to the peoples around us. That is our worship before him until he comes again and through all eternity. So even though this is a short chapter, it is rich in worship. It is rich in praise to God because of his amazing grace in turning away his wrath and pouring out his compassion upon us. It's a call for us to fill our mouths with praise and thanksgiving and to worship him in spirit and in truth, to live every moment of our lives in a thankful praise to the God of our salvation. It's a call on us to be passionately and fruitfully engaged in evangelism and in missions, simply sharing the gospel with people, discipling them, helping them to grow in that walk with Christ, declaring among the nations of the earth the greatness of Jesus' work on the cross and the empty tomb. And finally, as a promise of the rich future blessings when our present worship by faith and by the Spirit will be one day complete when we're in heaven and we stand face to face with our Lord and Savior, worshiping him for all of eternity. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe, all who are longing to see his face. Will you this moment his grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your infinite, marvelous grace that you have shown to us. What a picture chapter 12 shows us of that day of the Lord in the millennial reign and beyond through eternity. Father, that doesn't have to wait until then. We know from what we've seen in this passage, it was something the Jewish people could experience in their lives in Isaiah's day if they would but turn to the Lord. It's an experience we can have in our hearts and our lives today also if we will but follow the Lord and draw from his presence in us, if we would drink from the water of the well within us, Lord, that we would be a river flowing of water to the nation around us, declaring the greatness and the goodness of God to a lost and dying world. Help us to do that, Lord, to be evangelistic, sharing the gospel, just having gospel conversations with people, just simply asking those things like, is there something I can pray for you about? And maybe you open up a further conversation that goes further and deeper than that. Father, maybe there are those, Lord, that you placed in our family who we need to be sharing the good news of the gospel with. But Lord, not only the evangelistic aspect, but the missions aspect, seeking, Lord, to meet the needs of people around us, Lord, to show them through the things that you do in our hearts and our lives, the great and mighty work that you have done in our hearts, that you're wanting to do in their lives also through ministering to their hearts. Father, I pray that you would help us to sing and to shout the praises of God. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for all you've done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and his death on the cross and his resurrection from the tomb. Thank you, Lord. What a great, marvelous, infinite, matchless grace you have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us there online on all of our social media platforms. We look forward to seeing you back this coming Sunday, 9:15 for Sunday school. If you could come join us in person, we've got that new members class at that time also, and then 10:30 for our worship that will be online if you have to be there at home. We look forward to seeing you then. You have a blessed week, a safe week. And if you have any needs with all this extreme heat, please call the church office to let us know. And we have some individuals who may be able to reach out to help you with things. Just going to the grocery store for a year. Little simple things like that. Call us and let us know. We'll be glad to help. But we'll see you this coming Sunday. You have a blessed week and a safe week.